Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. This week, I want to focus on prophetic realities, things that the New Testament teaches us, the Old Testament, about what the church faces in history, but what she will face in particular before the Lord returns. I mean, some of the things Jesus said as he described Matthew 24 and other key passages in the Gospels of the kinds of persecution and trial, the deception, the falling of the way of the people from the faith, a whole series of things that Jesus warns the apostles about that really they're going to happen with great intensity at the end of history, before his return, but history is also the story of the ebb and flow of these spiritual battles, because we know we live in the context of spiritual battle our whole life long. I mean, until Jesus comes again, the battle between the kingdoms will continue. The kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the enemy, the god of this world, will make war against the church, but we know the victory ultimately belongs to the Lord, so God's people are never surprised. Let me put it that way, should not be surprised by the level of spiritual conflict that can happen at any time or moment, in particular moment in history. We're living through, right now, a particularly intense time that's going to continue to intensify, a spiritual battle in which we're seeing a lot of upheaval in society. We see the dying of the Christian view of reality, the whole reality of Christendom, when major parts of the world and whole nations were lived with fundamental respect toward God and the things of God. Many people were actually participating in the life of the church in various ways. And there was a consensus about the general moral, the moral inheritance that we'd received and walked in, the Ten Commandments, the respect for the natural law, things like that. And it informed our laws, it informed our teaching, our education, our universities, the whole way of life of the people. And the church had a prominent role and had a prominent place in society. Bishops and some archbishops of major cities were some of the most powerful people in the whole city, could influence the direction of politics just because Catholics and other Christians were so clear about morality, so clear about the importance of people living a way of life that was consistent with revelation and the natural law, that they would support it. But we know that that's all collapsed and collapsing. And so there's a great test, and it's helpful to remember a set of things. And I want to talk about a few things, hopefully, that can encourage us this week as we live through this trial, because it certainly is a trial. It's a time of tribulation and challenge. I want to begin first with just the idea of the concept of what St. Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 6, where he characterizes the battle that Christians will always be living through, as I said, before the Lord returns. Chapter 6, verse 10, he begins this way: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might." Just that line itself is worth chewing on for a while to think about Paul's exhortation. He knows what he himself obviously is enduring. He's got lists in the New Testament of the kind of persecution and challenge and difficulty that he's experienced, the tribulation. And he says, others, as the apostles also experienced it, so will other brothers and sisters. And so it's not a surprise, and should never be a surprise to disciples, that the world is ultimately not a friendly place for those who are strongly identified with the person of Jesus. Jesus made it clear for disciples. He said, as the world's hated me, the world's going to hate you too. And then in John 7, verse 7, he reminds the apostles why, and those listening to him, his disciples, why is it that the world hates them, hates him? He said that the world hates me because he exposes their sin, because he exposes the evil that's in the world, and the world doesn't want to hear that, right? And so as a result, the world seeks to silence, the powers of this world seek to silence even the Son of God who comes to bear witness to the truth. And so Paul knows that that same oppression, that same tribulation and trial and persecution is going to happen in history. And so disciples need to be prepared for it. And to walk in it, walk through it, what do we need? We need strength. We need the strength that comes not just from the arm of man, our own fleshly strength, our own wits about us. That's worth having for sure. But the strength we fundamentally need is spiritual strength. It's strength that comes directly from the Lord. So Paul is exhorting and reminding us, he's saying, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Jesus' might was demonstrated on the cross. Jesus went to the cross by his own choice. Jesus was in charge of the entire affair of what unfolded on Calvary. And Paul tells us in another place that in that battle, in the white-hot intensification of the battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness that took place on Calvary, Jesus dealt a mortal blow to the enemy. He disarmed the principalities and powers, St. Paul said, and made a public show of them. He disarmed the power that Satan had over human flesh, because human beings had fallen, had said yes to temptation, had come under what Paul described as the reign of sin and death. And the devil accused us, the devil enslaved us because of weakness of the flesh, the fallen human nature, the powers of the world, the flesh and the devil at work. And ultimately, every human being stood condemned because of the reality of sin at work in us, of original sin, of inherited sin, and our participation in it. And so Paul will say even something like God's commandments, God's laws, which are meant for good, end up condemning us. Why? Because the centerpiece of the law and the fundamental heart of it is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so when those commandments are given to us, what they do instead of simply lighting a path, they also expose the reality of the condition, the sin-sick condition of the human heart, and that all of us fall short of that commandment and those commandments. We cannot fill them full. But Jesus did, even to the point of death. He gave to the Father what belonged to the Father. He loved the Father with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's the second Adam who gives to God what belongs to God. And he loved his neighbor even unto death. And so Jesus triumphs on our behalf. He destroys the hold and the chains of the enemy on the human race and makes it possible through the gospel to participate in Jesus' victory, his destroying of the powers of death on the cross, the shedding of his blood to make it possible to purify human beings from the power of sin, to cleanse us. He rises from the dead and begins a new humanity, existence beyond death, a new reality, a new creation is born in the flesh of Jesus. And Jesus now enters into glory and the new creation, God's saving work in his Son begins. And from that place, he pours out the Holy Spirit and the church is born. So we are given power. Jesus said on the day of Pentecost about the apostles, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall receive, the Greek word is dunamis, like dynamite. You'll receive the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, a new creation, a new reality, the power of God. And so that's what each one of us has been given in baptism and strengthened in the sacramental life and participation in the life of the church and the Eucharist and the mission of the church. That's the power that Paul's talking about or leaning into. It's the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus promised again and again that he would send the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. He would be with us always. He would give us peace and joy, and the fruits of the Spirit would grow in us no matter what kind of trial that we're facing in the world. The problem is if we're expecting the world to be a place of comfort and security and safety and a place where we're just kind of naturally going to operate in peace and confidence and have what we want in this world, we're missing the boat. We're going to be leaning into the world in the wrong kind of way. Remember what the Lord said, friendship with the world, that is the fallen dimension of our human existence, which we can see literally everywhere. Look at all the lying that's going on in our politics and the divisions in our society and the violence in our streets and the crazy political decisions globally that are being made vis-a-vis human beings. And I mean, it's one thing after another. It's a fallen world we inhabit. And so friendship with that world, that dimension of the world that resists God, the things of God, it resists acknowledging God. Just look at how much Christendom is dying, how many voices are emerging, young and old, who are just boldly proclaiming their independence from God, or denying that God exists, or creating their own spiritual path and their own spiritual bliss, and rejecting God's Son, rejecting the Ten Commandments, rejecting what has been revealed through the whole Judeo-Christian history of the West in particular. So that battle, that's the fallen world that Jesus says, if you're a friend of that world, that is, if you're in agreement with it, if you're looking for that world to give you comfort, and you're taking up your place there, trying to find the biggest throne you can have in that world to be recognized, to be powerful, to be influential. If that's where you are an enemy of God. That's what Jesus said. Why? Because that world is under the kingdom and the dominion of the enemy, of Christ's enemy, Satan, who's still seeking to bring as many human beings into slavery as possible. Now, Paul makes a point here in Ephesians chapter 6 that we need to go to the place where we have the capacity to receive the spiritual strength we need to face every and any kind of trial. He goes on to verse 11, then put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we're given armor that Paul will describe here. But the main thing I want to point out is this. He says, you put on the armor so that you can stand. Three times he says, stand. And what are we standing against? He says, we're not contending against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we're being equipped by the Lord. Paul will say, therefore, to take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then the next verse, verse 14, he says, stand therefore. So he says basically three or four times, stand, stand, stand. What does he mean? It's very interesting. He doesn't say run into the battle. He's saying put on the armor and stand. Because friends, this is a war that's already been won. And the strange reality is we're in a battle, but it's the kind of battle that the world has never seen before. In this battle, those who are followers of Jesus, what we're called to simply do is to stand. That is to bear witness. That is to endure, to patiently endure the trials of this world. And it's simply the call to be faithful and to not quit, to not back up, to not give in, but simply to take your stand and to bear witness to the truth of Christ's victory over this whole domain of spiritual battle that we're living in the midst of. You know, Jesus, one of his titles is, Book of Revelation says, he's the faithful witness. He's the firstborn from the dead. And each one of us as disciples, we're called to be faithful witnesses. To be faithful to what? To be faithful to what Jesus has revealed about himself, about God the Father, about us, about the world, and to stand in it in the truth that he's given to us. Sometimes in history, large portions of the world kind of welcome that witness. Well, that's not the case anymore. Now the hostility, the rage, the anger of the enemy is coming against the church. And so what we're called to do is to simply stand and bear witness. So John, the writer of the book of Revelation, he says very beautifully at one point, he says, I, John, your brother, share with you in Jesus the tribulation, the kingdom, and the patient endurance. This is the same thing that we share. We share the tribulation and the trial, and it's intensifying in our time. Not a surprise. The kingdom, we're living in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the patient endurance. We simply patiently endure the trials that come our way, trusting in God. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.